VBS is one of my favorite weeks of the year. All the kids coming up, the volunteers showing up at the church. It's probably one of the busiest weeks for the church itself as a building in a given year. It's a lot of fun. The church here in our normal service here at 10:30 during the summer, we've been working our way through 1 Samuel. And it just so happens that the sermon that fell for this week was a great one for the kids to be part of the service on and that sort of thing, because it's the story of David versus Goliath. Those little guys came up here and sang their songs and read their quotes and verses from VBS, and even they have a role to play. Even they have things that can be done for Christ and for God. David was just a teenage boy whenever he faced Goliath. And it's a reminder that God can do great things even through people who are small or people who feel like they're small. In fact, that's kind of the theme for 1 Samuel as an entire book. The book begins by talking about Hannah and her not having any kids, and that after praying about it and committing her child to God, God gave her a kid, allowed her to get pregnant and have a baby. Hannah then gives a song, and it talks about how the Lord is near, that the Lord isn't far away from people with their troubles and their difficulties, with their struggles, and that sometimes God even uses the simpler, more difficult situations to show that he exists, that he's close by. I couldn't help but think, as I was reading through it again this week and Hannah was talking about God breaking the bows of the archers and that the people would stumble who otherwise had lots of strength, I couldn't help but think about how some time ago now Russia was invading Ukraine, and it just seemed like their tanks were just breaking down left and right. They couldn't get their tanks into Ukraine very far because their big industry, their big battle behemoths were falling apart as they went through Ukraine. Samuel, too, is a story of a little guy, Hannah's son, who leads Israel. But when we come to chapter 17 and we talk about David and Goliath, the way that the book introduces Goliath is in this way. Verses 4 through 7 read this. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and the iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. It doesn't take a great, discerner of biblical language to realize that when they talk about cubits, spans, and shekels, that's not stuff we talk about here in the United States. But what it translates into is the words big and heavy. And that's what they were describing. That's the point of what was going on about in this description of Goliath. He is a big guy, and he has all of the equipment that any warrior would need. Goliath's size is immense, and he comes from a group of people, a family of great size. But his armor and his weapons are also immense. They are impenetrable. He is there to fight in single combat against whoever Israel might send forward. His javelin that's slung on his back is made for distance so that he can strike far away. His spear is made for length so he can get middle distance and defend himself and attack from a distance. And his sword, which probably wasn't incredibly long, probably a medium-sized sort of comparable length, is made for up-close battles and fighting. He is equipped for every kind of attack and every kind of thing that might come his way. The troops of Israel are standing on the other side of the valley, up on the hill, watching as the Philistines are on the other, and every day for 40 days, Goliath comes out and taunts the people of Israel. And day after day, for 40 days, this killing machine stands there and no one else goes out. The king doesn't go out. None of the generals or military leaders go out to face him. His physical appearance is huge. His physical appearance is daunting. And yet, one teenage boy shows up, and he's interviewed and given the job of giant killer. The king, Saul, tries to dress him up in the big armor that Saul has, the helmet, the shield, the sword. But David insists that he's not used to any of them. In fact, they may be more of a cumbrance than a help. But what David is used to is a slingshot. Verse 40 reads this way. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from a stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. God has used throughout the time of the Old Testament a variety of weapons that would be unexpected. In the hands of God's people, in the hands of God, a variety of weapons can do great damage. A donkey's jawbone, for example, an ox goad, or even a woman with a tent spike are all weapons in God's hands. The slingshot of David is one that he's used to. It's not this kind of slingshot like my daddy had. It's one that's spun at speed.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Thanks, Suri. The point of talking about David and the slingshot is that he's coming up against this formidable force, this tower of strength and might, and all he brings is a rock about yay big. He takes it and slings it. The point is not that David is incredibly great as a warrior. The point is that it is a small weapon in God's hand. That it is God who is aiding David in his fight. It is God who is making the stone go fast, that it hits hard, that its aim is true. It is God who is the one who is creating this victory for the people of Israel. David is no warrior, but it is God who brings about the victory. It's very similar to the way that the Apostle Paul talks in 1 Corinthians. He speaks in chapter 1, verses 26 through 29 about the changes and abilities that God gives in unexpected ways. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, said this, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." God has the ability to use anyone. No matter what their height or their size, no matter what their skills or their abilities, no matter what they bring to the table, in God's hands, they can be effective. They can be used for great things. Verses 47 through 50, as the end of this battle is summed up, the author of 1 Samuel says this, "All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to the attack, David ran quickly towards the battle line and met him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it, and it struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand, and he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Many of the things that we face in life, we often try to address and try to take care of on our own, not realizing that what God is doing is taking his battle. Many of the battles that we face are won with prayer and humility and truth. All those things coupled with God's power can provide a great and amazing victory. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We see that David was a man after God's own heart. David was different than King Saul because King Saul was worried about his own glory, but David was worried about the Lord's glory. David was examined and found to be the person that God wanted to be king. You see, the Lord's great work is that he takes the least and the smallest and even the insignificant and transforms them into something he can use. It's what Hannah's song was about. It is what Paul was writing to the Corinthians. And it is what the Lord does every single day. The Lord can use anyone as long as they're willing to put their life and their heart in the Lord's hands. Let's pray. Lord, we are reminded by these children that you desire for children even to come and give you worship. Children to follow after you and to follow your will. Lord, we pray that we too might be humble like children, that we might come to know you and follow your will as children so often do. Lord, we pray that we'll be able to put our lives, no matter where they stand or what they're like, into your hands to use. For Lord, it is your glory and your battle that matters most. Lord, we thank you that you have sent your Son Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of the world. And Lord, we thank you for a wonderful week of VBS, for all of its volunteers, for all of its kids, for all of the people who took a moment and did something that helped this week of VBS out. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen.